This basically means the end of the dollar as the world trading currency. This is like the biggest political news or change, economic change, since the end of World War II and the Bretton Woods agreements. Pompeo came out and said, all Americans must come home now, right? And then they also, they took all the military leaders and they took them down to the deep bunkers underground. And also the fleets have left the ports and are now floating around in the ocean where they're much safer. And these are three acts of war. So, but this is, you know, this is basically the end of the dollar as a world trading. And it's also the end of the Anglo-American empire. Because remember, empires stand on two legs. One is the trading currency and the other is the military to back it up. Take out either of those legs and the empire falls over.
I'm proud to share with you Tetragen, which helps you transition to a healthier, happier, and thinner you without cravings or side effects. Our metabolic hormones are the underlying problem that doom every diet and exercise program to fail. They control our metabolism, cravings, how much we eat to feel satiated, blood sugar levels, and even our energy levels. Tetragen is formulated with four clinically proven patented ingredients that help rebalance your metabolic hormones in roughly 15 to 20 days, depending on the amount of weight you want to lose. Once your metabolic hormones are rebalanced, you'll be on the path to long-term, sustainable weight loss because Tetragen is the first in the world which is scientifically formulated with four clinically proven and patented active ingredients to help you reach your targeted weight in two distinct phases. Phase one, rebalance your metabolic hormones, and phase two, accelerate fat loss. The best part is that Tetragen comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose besides weight? Learn more with the link below.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, we're going to talk about a very serious development that's going on with the Shanghai organization. They, along with the Middle Eastern countries, have come together and decided not to conduct commerce in the U.S. dollar anymore. You know, what does that mean? What does that mean to the petrodollar? This is a huge development in economics. We're starting to see a buildup of war happening. You know, it's very confusing with the virus and we're locked down. What does that mean? I'm bringing in people with all different perspectives so that you can get your arms around things. You're going to hear people talk about things from different perspectives that might not, you know, necessarily always jive. One person has a different set of data than somebody else, but I am going to do my best at bringing you in people who are high level with information. Now, I have Ken, the scientist, coming back, Ken Schwartz, but he used to be, before he became a scientist, he redid his whole life and his career. He was an economics person and he did consulting for the Middle East in economics. And so those of you who are used to seeing him as a scientist role, he is actually has a lot more experience in economic consulting in the Middle East and for governments in the Middle East. And so when he sent me this last night, he said it was they just came to the agreement, and I'm like, we need to do an urgent meeting on this because or an urgent interview to get this information out to people. And so that's what we're going to talk about. And then other signs that you have seen that things are going down, and maybe this will start bringing things into perspective about what's going on in general with these lockdowns. Because I've been just confused overall, and a lot of us have, as to what's really going on. And maybe this will start bringing some stuff into focus. And he did bring something up to me that China is now using C60 to combat the virus. They'll use anything, apparently, that they think is going to work. And he agreed. I just had Mitch Gerber on. Millions of people have died in China. And so we talk about that. They're lying. But the interesting part is they're starting to use C60 and they don't care. They don't have that whole naysayer and that attitude of new science. And they're willing to look at the real data, the real science, and actually use it. So I'm excited that they're trying that. So we talk about that a little bit. And then for my Patreons, I have a 12-week class that Tetragen put together exclusively for my Patreons, and it's free. And it's for those of you that are already using Tetragen and you're a Patreon. Tetragen is a tool. It curbs your appetite. and it also cuts cravings and helps you burn fat. So if you also follow a good diet plan and use a tool that really helps you do those things, it makes a diet, it really helps a diet become successful. And I know a lot of people, as the weather gets nicer, they care about those things. And so it's free for my patrons. And you can go to patreon.com/Sarah Westall to get that. I also published another ebook on there last night for my patrons, called The 9 Commentaries of China's Communism. So you can get an idea of that. And so there's lots of things there. And for those of you who are interested in getting any of the products that I advertise, because I no longer get, I'm no longer monetized. YouTube completely shut down my channel. So the only way that I'm supported is through Patreons and through my shop. So you can get to that at sarahwestall.com/shop. And those are affiliates that I have that support the program as well. And I thank everyone that supports this program. But this will be the first time you'll probably hear of what's going on with the dollar and global economics. And this is very serious. It's a big deal. And let's get into this interview now with Ken Schwartz. Hey, Ken, welcome to the program.
Good to see you, Sarah.
You sent me an email late last night, and then you called me about what just happened Friday. What is the day today? This is Saturday. We're recording this. And yesterday was what is the date here? It's the 3rd, April 3rd. You sent me that. And that went all, third, this went yeah. down. This went down on the 3rd, where China and Russia and India and Brazil, all these countries, they're no longer going to use the U.S. dollar for doing trade. And it's a big deal. And I'm like, okay, let's do a show on this because it's something that people need to go, you know, we need to discuss on what this means. But before we get into this, I want people to understand what your background is, because they're going to be like, why is Ken the scientist talking about economics? But your whole background was economics before you went back to school to become a scientist. And you actually did consulting for governments. Can you talk about what your background is first and why you actually are, you're a good person to talk to on this?
Okay, yeah, well, I do have an economics degree from ASU. And I did do consulting for some governments in the Middle East who will remain unnamed. And so that's kind of what, that was my first career and life, that stuff. And so, just to let you know, kind of I have connections in there. My grandfather, he negotiated the end of the Tong Wars in the 30s, you know, that were western coast of the United States. And he also was like the main money holder for the nationalist Chinese during, you know, when they're fighting the Japanese in World War II. So that was a whole thing. And then,
So you have a lot of
Oh yeah, and my dad did the same thing.
Yeah, we have done shows on what your dad was, but you went back to school because the government changed, right? The politics changed, and you were like, "Well, hell with this!" And you went back to school and became a scientist, right?
Yeah, exactly. The regimes changed in the Middle East, and I've always liked science, but I was doing the economic thing, and I got a master's in basically biogeochemistry, and so that's why you know me as Ken the scientist. But before that, I was Ken the economic consultant, and so I did a lot of economic stuff, so the international things, and I could tell you stories about that. But so that was it was just in the Middle East area pretty much that I did consulting for those governments.
So when you've been sending me all this information and we've been talking about things, that's the context. And that's why I said, well, let's just do a show. I mean, it's an important, this is an emergency type show that we got going on. I want to talk to you about what this means to the U.S. economy, to the global economy. And then we're going to get into 5G a little bit, because there's a lot of emergency ordinances and people trying to shut down 5G, and people are desperate to get that shut down and what that means. And then there's this goofy disinformation campaign that viruses aren't real. And I just want to put that to rest a little bit. So, but let's start about what happened? What note came through? What meeting came through? What decision was made? And is it starting immediately?
And it's from the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. I don't know if they call it the SCO. I don't know if people know it, but basically it's the biggest nations in Asia, primarily Russia, China, and India. And also, Pakistan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and also there are people that are honorary that show up there also, but they're not quite full members. as Iran, Afghanistan, Belarus, and Mongolia. So that's like half the world's population, three-fifths of its land area.
But wait a minute, they also added Brazil, right? Am I wrong with Brazil?
Well, that'll come later. This is the Shang SCO, okay. But then there's the BRICS, which is bigger. So yes, the BRICS will follow what the SCO does. So that's gonna come down too. But because, so for instance, like Africa, pretty much every merchant in Africa does their business in renminbis, or the Chinese yuan, right? They're doing it in the Chinese already. So you can say that when this goes down, it's gonna also be totally Africa and probably most of Latin America as well, because most of the biggest trading partners of Latin American countries are with China, not with the United States. So there, you're really looking at, like, you know, I don't know, two-thirds of the world's population and three-fourths of its land area are going to be part of this. And basically what it is, I'll just read the thing. Okay, it says the Shanghai Cooperation Organization to introduce mutual settlements in national currencies. This basically means the end of the dollar as the world trading currency. This is like the biggest political news or change, economic change, since the end of World War II and the Bretton Woods agreements.
This is a big flipping deal. Now, do you see this as the end of the petrodollar?
It is the end of the petrodollar. This is pretty much the final nail in the coffin. This isn't going to happen overnight. They're not all going to do this, but that the agreement has happened is huge. And, you know, people have been, like a lot of guys, people, if you're out there in the internet land, they're talking about, I mean, what's going on? Because they're saying, they looked at, for instance, one of the things is, like, Pompeo came out and said, all Americans must come home now, right? And then they also, they took all the military leaders and they took them down to the deep bunkers underground. And also the fleets have left the ports and are now floating around in the ocean where they're much safer. And these are three acts of war. This is like the United States is now under war, and they're not going to be fighting a little virus. You're not going to, what is sending a fleet out in the ocean going to do to help fight a virus, right? Or guys hiding out in a bunker to help fight a virus. No, this is something else going on. And then, you know, there's several people on, you know, internet things. They're saying, what's going on? Why is all this, you know, the excessive COVID-19 lockdowns, all this, something is going on and we never knew. And remember, everybody has intelligence agencies. They knew, the US knew this was going to go down, probably months before it happened. It's not that, you know, that's why you don't spend $200 billion a year on intelligence agencies, not to have them do stuff. And so, but this is, you know, this is basically the end of the dollar as a world trading. And it's also the end of the Anglo-American empire. Because remember, empires stand on two legs. One is the trading currency and the other is the military to back it up. Take out either of those legs and the empire falls over.
Okay, well, why are we in lockdown and wrecking our economy over a virus that isn't as contagious as we thought? And what's going on with that? How does that align with this?
Well, it's a desperate last chance play. Let's do a little run over some history here lately. You know, like, for instance, why does the U.S. get involved in that thing? Rick, we know now that there was, like, Libya. Let's take a look at Libya. They attacked Libya. Why? You know, remember Libya, the reason is Libya had an independent central bank, and they used the bank to benefit the people. Libya had the highest standard of living in Africa. And Colonel Gaddafi had gotten a whole bunch of gold together, and he was going to create a gold dinar. So all the countries in Africa could trade with each other and they wouldn't need to use the big international City of London banks. And then the next thing you know, bam, he's you know, he gets bayoneted, the gold disappears. And the first thing you know, the traditional liberation government of Libya did was to create a private central bank, of course, owned by the City of London Rothschild banking dynasty, right? Before they even created a government. You know, that tells you what's going on. And then let's go back further, Saddam Hussein. There were no weapons of mass destruction, no connections with Al-Qaeda. That's just a lie, right? Nobody's gone to jail for that, by the way. But what it is Saddam Hussein started trading oil in the euro, not the dollar. And 6 months later, he was hanging from an American noose, okay? That's what happened there. And let's go even back further, like Germany. What's World War II? All the lies they say. You know, look, what did Hitler do? Hitler broke from the international bankers, started a national bank, printed his own currency, not under the control, was bargaining with other nations, right? And what happened? It just like that, you know, Germany was destroyed and Hitler killed. You know, so I mean, this is, you know, you step up against the bank, that's the power, the bankster power, they will respond, whether it's Libya, whether it's Iraq, whether it's Germany and Japan, whether whatever, or Syria, they tried to take that out, didn't quite succeed. And so now this is, you know, this is huge. These countries have got together, and the U.S. is responding. And I've been, you know, I've been listening, and you hear this stuff they're talking about. They're basically planning a war in the Middle East. This is their plan. They're trying like the last ditch Hail Mary effort to keep the dollar as the world trading currency. And they're basically going to throw their Middle Eastern allies under the bus. And you've been hearing about, oh, they're having these attacks on American bases. In Iraq, they've taken the Americans and concentrated them in just a couple of bases. The peripheral bases have been removed, so they're not so vulnerable. And so they put in 30,000 new troops into the Middle East, right? And it's going down basically. This is the plan, because I've talked about, you know, my family connection with the Middle East, and that's kind of how I ended up a consultant for the Middle East. But what's basically going to happen is they have this, or they're going to attack these Iraqi missions. And they found, remember when they killed that General Soleimani, the Iranian head of the Iranian military, and they did it allegedly because this U.S. base was bombed by some Iranian-linked militias. Well, actually, that they found out that was ISIS. The Iranians had nothing to do with it. The whole thing was a setup. And so basically, what's going to happen is they're going to go after these militias in Iraq, and then there's going to be retaliation, and then somehow there's going to be an incident with Iran, you know, something, and then they're going to try to start a war in the Middle East with Iran. And when that happens, Iran's going to launch everything. They're not going to mess around. They're just going to launch everything, and that'll end all the oil coming out of the Middle East. And the oil that comes out of the Middle East is what supplies the economies of China, of India, of all these other Pakistan, of all those, you know, that's their main source of oil. So they'll cut off the oil supplies that run their economies. You know, it wasn't just enough to release a virus in China.
How do you know this? How do you know this is what they're going to do?
Oh, because that's what it is. I mean, my dad, I talked about, you know, this is like a family tradition. This is what I do. This is what I've done. I still do it. I just don't do it for money. And I've never been part of any intelligence agency, any United States intelligence agency. I've never have a security clearance. So I am never signed those papers. You cannot hold me accountable. I'm an independent operator. I used to run a little intelligence agency of my own. And that's why, like, for instance, you've never heard of the Korean War of 2004, have you? Of course not, because it got pushed off at sea. So we did a lot of things behind, this is the Bush years, we did a lot of things to derail a lot of the evil that Dickie, Rummy, and W were up to. But I've, you know, moved on from that. I'm doing other things these days. But obviously, they're out to play this political game. I mean, this is serious, folks. This is like World War III. Because that basically when the U.S. dollar is no longer the world trading currency, which is essentially what's happened, the U.S. empire will disappear. And right now, the U.S. has been subsidizing its military and its economy by printing money out of thin air, because every country in the world has to use U.S. dollars to trade with each other. So the U.S. basically can print money out of thin air to pay for itself. That's what's financing the U.S. military industrial complex and most of the U.S. economy. When that goes away, they can't print their phony money. They won't want no stinking U.S. dollars. They're going to want some other currency or gold, and the U.S. will have to come up with it. And so at home here, we're looking like economic collapse, hyperinflation, really serious stuff.
Well, now, if we nationalize the Fed and all that, we have a public bank, we could be in a much better situation.
Yeah, but they're not going to let you do that. That's not going to happen. You know, Kennedy tried that. Look what happened to him. You try to cut into that action, but now they got bigger plan. They got a bigger problem. You know, it's not just Iraq that they can beat up on. Now they've got India, China, Russia, all those other Asian countries. You know, that's over half the population of the planet. And they've been weaponizing the dollar. Look at the Iranian. This is to make the world safe for Israel and, you know, increase profits for the U.S. They've been crushing, you know, they canceled the nuclear deal, and they're putting all these sanctions on Iran. And anybody that trades with Iran or anybody or Syria or anybody else they don't like, they'll sanction those companies. They'll say, you can't buy oil from Iran, otherwise we'll cut you off from the U.S. dollar, which is what they need to trade. India has to use the U.S. dollar, let's say, to trade with Indonesia or even to trade with Japan. They need U.S. dollars to do that. And the U.S. says, no, we'll cut you off from U.S. dollars. You won't be able to trade. We'll crush your economy. So you can't trade with these people if we say that. They weaponize the dollar and use as a club to beat nations up. Well, people don't like to get beat up, people or nations. And so they've gotten together and said, hey, we don't need your dollar. We don't need your SWIFT system. We're going to make our own, and you can go basically shove it. And, you know, your sanctions won't have any power. You won't have any power anymore. And the empire is going to, Anglo-American empire is collapsing right as we speak. And that's what this thing, that's what the mobilization is about.
But why destroy our country's economy before we go into war? I mean, their decisions.
Well, they're getting the people ready for, they're getting ready. It's going to happen anyway. If they go to war with China and India and economic warfare, then you're not going to get any stuff from China anyway. You're not going to get any stuff. Exports, imports are going to stop, and a lot of exports are going to stop. So they're kind of getting people used to martial law, house arrests, lockdowns. Because they start this big war, who knows where it's going to go. But this is, you know, this is like the last ditch of the Anglo-American. And that's, this is a war. There's a war is coming. And they're, this has been planned, obviously, for a while. They've mobilized the troops. They've hid the guys in the bunkers. Pompeo has ordered the people home. No, there's a war coming.
Do you know they had the largest military buildup in Europe in decades? Is just happened a few months ago. So I know that happened, and so there's a lot going on. It's pretty interesting. But now we have this other virus that's in the background with 5G, and millions of people died in China, and that is good intel. Okay. I know that there's millions, and I don't know if they took them out. Or if it was the virus, there is indication that the virus affects them, males, Asian males, 5 times more than Caucasian males,
Exactly.
And so it was total devastation for them, and they're lying, right?
This wasn't the first viral attack on China. Earlier this year, last year, they released. This happened in Cuba. You know, the Cubans, you know, and you can go back and look. In 1971, the U.S. released swine flu, virus that would destroy the pigs in Cuba.
Was it the U.S. or was it this global criminal cabal that is
global criminal cabal through their U.S. proxies. Remember, my dad was my dad retired on a colonel in the Air Force, but they called him back again and again and again because he was like the original OSS pilot. In fact, he even flew for the company into the 50s and 60s. Like the missions, the company pilots were afraid to do, my dad was like, quote, recruited to do, right? So he has a history in, you know, the intelligence agencies, the very beginning. He was like the original OSS pilot. This was, you know, they used to do that to Cuba all the time. They'd release like virus, and they didn't stop in 71. They did in the 80s, the 90s. They released viruses that would destroy the pig crop. They did that. They did stuff that would destroy the chickens. They did it on people, mosquito-borne vectors on people. So that was like their little test plan because, you know, nobody could travel from Cuba to U.S., so they could do whatever they want. Cuba was like their test thing for bioweapons. And, you know, earlier this last year, they released the African swine flu into China. This was an intelligence operation, wiped out most of the pigs in China. That's their main protein source, right? And then when they got done with that, then they released this COVID-19 thing. I mean, it's a bioweapon. It's specifically designed to go after Chinese males of fighting age, right? Okay, come on. Why would the Chinese release that on themselves? It makes no sense. And at the same, remember, they always, when something goes down, like they always telephone or transmit this is going to happen. Like when the Boston bombings went down, they were doing an actual exercise and imagining there was actually going to be a bombing going on. When the London bombings went down, they're actually doing a practice exercise that there was actually going to be bombings. In the exact places where they actually happened.
Look
at 9/11, you're running scenarios of planes.
It's so obvious.
Yeah, so in October, at the same time the coronavirus was being released at the military Olympics in Wuhan, the Bill Gates and the deputy director of the CIA and a whole bunch of other people were doing that, what is it, 200S, Section 200, whatever it was, exercise
simulation.
About a COVID
virus. Yeah, they did a simulation on
simulation.
The virus. It was obvious
exactly.
That this
At the
whole
exact
thing
same
was,
time
was yeah.
being released in Wuhan.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's.
This is
ask,
obvious. I mean,
it is obvious that there's more here, but then it's also obvious China's lying, in a major way. And China is taking advantage of it to shut down their opposition to the Chinese Communist Party. We're taking advantage of it in every way possible. It's just incredible how people take advantage of something that's awful. But, right? I mean, that's what...
Yeah, the Chinese government probably, there's a lot more people died in China than what the governments admit.
Millions.
But governments do that. Yeah, millions. It's probably millions. But the governments do that. Like, remember Hurricane Andrew that hit Florida? Okay, at least 7,000 Americans die. You go look in the history books, a couple hundred people died. No, they had retirement community after retirement community, like, that was never evacuated. Just, there was nothing but a flat concrete, you know, pad left. Right, they were listed as missing, not dead, and there was like thousands of Haitians and other people in work camps in the sugar area. They were totally wiped out. I mean, and the government, of course, you look now, it's 200 people died or whatever it was. Now, there's actually at least 7,000 people died in Hurricane Andrew. So the U.S. government covers it up, the Chinese government covers it up, and I'm sure other governments, they don't want to look bad, right? If 7,000 people died, that looks terrible. Cover it up, make it look less.
Well, then let's talk about the 5G that's being crammed down our throats, because it is. They're installing it as we speak. I published a paper on my website showing that, you know, with actual facts, because I there's so much disinformation right now. And that's why I bring on people with different points of view onto my show, and I let them talk, because I know there's disinformation. But what I publish, I try to publish actual facts. But there are 5G installations going on as we speak. Why are they cramming it down our throat? And what do you think about it?
Part of it's about the money. It's also about the control. Because when you have a 5G system, you have the Internet of Things. So every appliance in your house can now report on you. And you can survey and see what people are doing all the time. It's like perfect for a surveillance society.
Yeah, but let's talk about the health consequences. I mean, people are scared because they believe.
Also,
a lot of the deaths from coronavirus is happening in higher numbers where 5G is already implemented or has a stronger presence. So it decreases our immune system. And so now you got 5G with a bad virus and you're going to see more death. You're going to see more death from everything. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things is, see, 5G is basically microwaves, right? There's 10,000 studies about the negative effects of microwaves on living organisms, okay? But people have to think, microwaves are mostly, especially in the frequencies they're going to be using, are going to mostly absorb in the skin, right? And, of course, it gets deeper. And also, like, for instance, they've got plenty of studies, like the 5G levels of 5G, that you're going to be thinking causes cataracts in rats really rapidly. Because, see, there's no protection there. There's actually those reflective sunglasses that look like mirrored sunglasses, they'll actually repel that. In fact, I'll give you the links for your listeners. There's actually a company in England now that has 5G clothes. So you can get like a 5G hoodie, a 5G pants, and, you know, 5G gloves, and you can put the sunglasses on and you can walk through the 5G environment and not be affected hardly. So that is out there now. So there's a ways you can protect yourself, just like, you know, you got your mask on. Well, now you can get your 5G clothing to protect you from that radiation.
Well, a lot of people are going to die from it, and that's what's serious. And I know that the Children's Network, that I'll have some links below, because people are doing urgent calls to their communities to stop it going in. I don't know if it'll work, but they're doing it and they're mobilizing. So I'll have links to that. I just don't want to see people dying. There are other alternatives. But I want to get to this goofy disinformation campaign that we're seeing, and there's people out there that are, it feels like the flat earth group, where they're talking about how viruses don't exist, they're not contagious. What are your thoughts on that?
Viruses do exist. They are contagious. And some are worse than others. I mean, we have viral minimums, they live with us. We, you know, there's more bacteria cells in your body than there are actual human cells. But there's also a virome, just as there's a bacteria, you know, environment, there's also a virus environment that lives in your body. There's a lot of those viruses live off the bacteria that live on your body, right? So you have a whole virome. You have a bacteriosome, I guess, and a virome in your body. And yeah, some of the viruses are bad. And they do exist. Obviously, rabies, right? That's a pretty obvious one.
Let's talk about the common cold. And this is what people just need to think through this. And I don't want to spend much time on it because it's so dumb. But we've all had the common cold. Mm-hmm. We've gotten it from our siblings, from our classmates. We know that viruses are contagious. Common cold, we experienced it ourselves. So you don't, it just, not to be sucked in from disinformation or bad science, it's just, you should just cut yourself off and go, wait a minute, I had a cold and I got it from my brother, or I had one and gave it to my brother, and my classmates, my friend down the street gave it to me. I mean, we all know that's what we had to experience growing up. We know common cold exists, and that's a virus, and it's contagious. So end of story. Now, the science, we might not completely understand the science, but it really is that basic. And so this is really a disinformation campaign to make a lot of people look really dumb. That's what I believe.
Well, yeah, it's part of, yeah. It's, I mean, look, the whole flat earth movement came, whether people like it or not, was actually an intelligence operation. I think it was just a joke. He said, let's see if we could do this, get people to believe that the earth was flat. Because, you know, and it just took on a life of its own. And it's the same thing, you know, with virus thing, I think, that they, you know, it's part of the muddying the waters.
It's total chaos. They're trying to create chaos.
So much stuff, exactly. So that people don't know one thing or the other. And that's part of the whole destabilization of the situation. Yes. But, you know, first off, I want to say a few things before we get to go on. You know, this is like, okay, I was a teacher for a while. And one of the things we did when we became a teacher is they basically get a bottle of vitamin D. And they said, you know, the vitamin D3, and said, you need to take this every day. And so, and why do people get sick in the wintertime? It's because they're inside, right? They're not outside getting the sunlight. And when sunlight shines on your skin, it makes vitamin D. And that's why people get sick in the wintertime when they're inside and not in the summertime. So the number one thing you can do to help improve your health is not to stay inside, but get outside and get some sun, at least 15 to 30 minutes a day. And if you can't do that, at least get some vitamin D with vitamin K. They go together, K to go together. And that will do like huge amounts for improving your immune health. I mean, these viruses are going to be here. The best, what you can do is make your immune health better. And that's like taking the vitamin D or getting out in the sunlight 15 to 30 minutes a day. Vitamin K is always with that. Taking vitamin C, if you got worried about the coronavirus, there's chaga mushrooms that help really a lot. And of course, there's always C60. You've probably seen some of the people that basically take C60, you know, they don't get sick. And they maybe get just slight as something, and then it goes away where everyone else around them gets really, really sick and can't function. So, I mean, I know you just have dozens of reports.
Well, and yeah, there's thousands of articles now on fluorines. It's just a magnet, a vacuum cleaner for free radicals, for inflammation, for everything. I'm to the point where it's just such a big, I think it should be a foundational element like vitamin C is, or like, you know, calcium is in our diet.
Yeah. I hear the Chinese have actually discovered C60 finally and are actually starting to use it to fight that. And by the way, I wanted to put the disclaimer, C60 cures nothing. Yeah. C60 cures nothing. What C60 does is it lifts the oxidative burden that your cells are under, you know, and so that your cells can function properly. And once your cells, your immune system can function properly, it can do the healing on its own. C60 doesn't heal anything. It just lifts the oxidative burden so your cells can operate correctly.
Okay, I'm very excited that you told me that the Chinese have discovered that it's working and they're using it. Now, give me more information on that, because that's something that I've been trying to...
I can't. All I've got is back street information, basically. And they've been watching what's going on here. They've been seeing, you know, what's going, you know, what's happening here and all that kind of stuff. And so they've made inferences. You know, they're doing a whole lot of just about anything that they can do.
Perfect.
And so they're actually evidently starting to, they've learned about, you know, they have people that are out there. They got tens of thousands of people to monitor. And they're monitoring you. They're monitoring us right now for when this goes on. They're monitoring everybody. They take information, they use it, and they get benefit from it. That's what intelligence agencies do.
I don't know if I like all that, but at least they're using the C60 and they're helping people. I'm happy about that. Hopefully they're looking at frequency and other things. Go ahead.
You got to remember, look, the last few centuries in this planet's been unusual. China, for the last X number of 4,000 years, 5,000 years, has always been the leading country on the planet. It was the most advanced in industry, in science, in medicine, you name it. It was the most advanced. I mean, they're casting 1,000-pound pieces of steel or iron, you know, like 1500 years ago. I mean, they were just, you know, they developed the gunpowder, the compass, you know, advanced ships, you name it. The technology was developed in China.
They invented the printing press.
Yeah, printing press. Yeah, everything.
It's a lie that we did, but yes. It's pretty interesting.
They brought it over to Europe
and then claimed it.
So it's China is just not, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. China is merely returning to its former status in the world. And what just happened today, or exactly that happened today with the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, is part of that. You know, and probably what's going to happen in the end is China, the Chinese renminbi or some other similar thing, is going to become the new world trading currency. And if you look at the history of empires, you know, when the British pound was...
Yeah, but I'm going to stop you for one second. The difference between China before is they didn't have a communist party that's ruling over them that's ruthless and evil. They have to shed that to get back to their former glory. Because you can't be great with that. But go ahead.
Yeah, but it's more like Chinese... It's turned from communism to Chinese communism with Chinese principles. And it's basically, you know, look, the Mongols tried to take over China and failed, you know, the communists tried to take over China. And yeah, then it's more Confucianism. And because what's happened in China is the return of the civil service examination.
Yeah, they can't keep communism around with their culture. It's not going to happen. It'll eventually get shredded. No, and it already is.
It's already gone.
Yeah.
No, communism is gone in China already. If people want to look, they have, it's a look at the advanced industrial thing. I mean, look, China has what, 20,000 kilometers of high-speed rail? United States has zero. They've got, you know, if you look at the advanced levels of China on things, it's just way ahead of the U.S.
Well, but
now.
They still
and,
have.
And no, it's gone. China's gone capitalist. It may have words, but it's something. China has gone back to being China.
Maybe, but they still have, where I disagree with you, they still have a communist party that's very much in control. They don't have access to the internet. They're very censored. They're not there yet. I mean, that's what is being thrown out or that's being overhauled. Yeah. There's a soft revolution going on in China.
Mm-hmm. But I just think with the change of generations, the old generations are gone. We have new generations. I mean, look, if you look at the grandkids and great grandkids of like party officials, I mean, to start up a business, you have to pay people off. And these guys are billionaires, multi-millionaires. They're basically, I guess, state capitalism or whatever else. They're rich people now. They're not communists anymore. You know, now you aren't a communist when you have a multi-million-dollar bank account and estates and stuff. You're more an aristocrat. And so we now have it's just a new dynasty. It's a new dynasty, a new Chinese dynasty. It has a communist name, but it's not really. It's a new Chinese dynasty with a new China that's taking its place once again where it should be in the world.
I wouldn't say it should be.
China's always been a little authoritarian. China's always been a little authoritarian. There's always been the state down control. I mean, so, you know, like we see the, you know, what we call, you know, oppression, but, you know, it's kind of just the way the Chinese, and this has been, if you study Chinese history, this is not unusual, that unusual, the way that it's set up compared to the way the West is set up. This is not, you know, under the Chinese emperors, I mean, if you go study the history of the Chinese emperors, there was a lot of not so nice ones, and very authoritarian and state control and top down and suppression of intellectual things. This is nothing new. And
well, the world is evolving. The world itself is evolving. Yeah, I hope so too.
Hopefully
we're not going to be stuck in medieval times forever, especially with the advanced technology we have. We won't survive with this type level of technology. Unless we evolve as a species, we will not survive. With this, we need to stop war.
They need to stop this war because what they're doing is they've mobilized, the United States has mobilized for war, right? Major mobilization. This is serious stuff. And they just don't do that. They don't do these massive acts of war. And why were they doing it? Now we know. The Shanghai Cooperation Organization has signed the death of the U.S. dollar as the world trading currency. And, you know, they're going to fight to keep it there. So I don't know exactly what their plans are. Obviously, they're not telling me. But you can see that, you know, they're you could just inference on what they would do to keep this power. Because look, when they Saddam Hussein stepped out of line, they crushed it. When you know, Libya, they crushed them. They tried to do Syria, right? All these countries, Libya, Syria, Saddam Hussein, they all had private central banks, right? Or actually had state central banks that helped the people of their country. They weren't City of London banks. And you know, a lot of these countries, like in Russia's been pushing on it. It had a private Rothschild controlled central bank. And they've been pushing against controlling that. China's doing the same thing. Jeffrey Sachs sits on the board of the Chinese National Bank, right? Telling them what to do, right? And the same with India. You know, it's just a former colony of Britain. So these countries, they're tired of being slaves. They're tired of being told what to do. They're tired of being sanctioned. And they're going to break free and make their own system independent of New York, London, Tel Aviv. And so, you know, and they're not going to.
Well, I can't argue with you. I can't argue with you because this has been the historical. It's just it's such a process. We've seen a whole trail of wars based on this premise. And I would say it's the City of London using our military to take back control of the central banking, which is sad because it's not, doesn't going to benefit us everyday Americans. In fact, it's just going to harm our children and everything else. Mm-hmm. But how do people get a hold of you?
Oh, well, I mean, obviously the company, c60purplepower.com, that's if you want C60, and that's good. But for me, you know, I don't know, ken@c60purplepower.com. I can, if you really want to talk, ask me. I can answer some questions. I'm kind of busy, but I'll hopefully get back to you and answer things. It's just that, you know, this is
it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal, but you've heard nothing of it. This might be the first time you've heard something of it, but this is just like the biggest news since the end of World War II, the biggest economic change, the most historic moment is just happened. It's the end of the dollar. It's the end of the Anglo-American empire. It's not going to happen. It's not going to go away tomorrow. You know, that's not an instant thing, but it's pretty much, this is it. It's over. We are going to live in a post-American empire world is coming. And, you know, they can do their war. They can try to stop it. There's nothing they can do. They will fail. The Anglo-American empire is over. A new empire will maybe it'll be a Chinese world trading currency. Who knows? But the old order is gone. And that's going to be huge implications. And it'll be like, you know, you'll hear it. They're going to be talking about this for months and months and months. It'll be the new big thing after Corona on the internet before too long. Once people actually realize this is happening.
It will be the next big thing.
You heard it here first.
Yep. And we'll be doing a couple more shows on it. So, okay. Well, good. Well, thank you so much for joining me. And I really appreciate all that you do. And thanks.
Okay, great.